Now, for the last 11 psalms or so, they were a psalm of Asaph, and most of those psalms were laments. They are cries for help from sinful people who feel God is far away. However, the tone changed dramatically as we read Psalm 84. And it was written by the sons of Korah. Almost every verse throbs with joy and excitement and rapture. At least once a year, the Jews would go to the temple in Jerusalem to worship and celebrate a feast. Now, most commentators believe this psalm was written for those pilgrimages to sing on their way. Well, the psalm begins in a joyful praise, a splendor of the temple. The temple was both renowned for its breathtaking beauty and for being the dwelling place of God. Hence, the singer's desire to be in the temple reflects a desire to be near God. The writer even envies the birds who build their nests near the altar. Like them, he loved to live in the temple all every day, because people didn't actually live in the temple. No, but whenever they came into the temple, they felt the joy of life. In verses 5 through 7, he remembered his journey to the temple as they passed through the Valley of Baca, also known as the Valley of Weepings. In poetic language, the psalmist imagines the dry land turning fertile as the pilgrims approach the temple. It's as if the people in creation join together in joyful celebration of their God. The singers then pray for their king, the Anointed One, which would be David. Israel's great hope was to dwell with God under his chosen king, who would rule in justice and righteousness. The psalmist also concluded with a joyful confession that there's nowhere else that he would rather be than in God's temple. And he ends with a blessing on all who obey and trust God, implying that's what we all should do. Amen. Of course, there is no temple in Jerusalem today. Jesus foretold that destruction in Mark chapter 13. And then he announced the end of the physical temple because he is the true temple who has come, John chapter 2. So today, we don't go to a building to meet God, praise be to God, because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection and the promise coming again. When Jesus gave up the ghost on the cross, that veil in the temple was rent in two, signifying to us that we now have direct access to the Holy of Holies. We can go to God through Christ. Wow, what a wonderful thing. We no longer had to go and have a priest pray for us or do something for us. No. We can go to God ourselves. What a blessing. Anywhere, no matter where we are, we can say, Lord, I need to talk to you today. And you can sit down on a park bench and pray and talk to the Lord, you know, and he'll talk back to you. Yeah, he will. Try it. He loves talking to you, and he wants you to talk to him. I digress. So when we go to Jesus, in whom the whole fullness of God dwells, you can find that in Colossians chapter 1. As Christians, everything we read here about the temple is true of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Now, I'd rather spend a day serving him than a lifetime of serving sin and Satan. Because thanks be to God, in July the 21st, 1986, I stopped serving that old deceiver, the devil. And I finally surrendered and I accepted Christ into my life. Now, there was no lightning flashes or anything like that, but it was amazing. And I tell people that whenever they accept Christ in their life sincerely for the first time, little by little, your life changes. And sometimes people get changed right away, boom. But for me and a lot of other people, it is a journey, not a sprint. And little by little, I started serving the Lord and putting him first in my life. And now, when I answered my call to go into ministry, he prepared me for what I needed to do to encourage one another. You know, and that's what we do. We have a biblical mandate to encourage one another in the faith. And we need to do that. Every time that we have a family member or a friend or anything that struggles, we can lift them up in prayer. We can encourage them. We can share God's word with them and ask the Holy Spirit to touch them in a way that they would be able to find answers to what's going on in their life. And that's what we're all about, because we have the precious hope. And I like what the Apostle Paul said. You hear me say it all the time, but it really blessed me, that if we only had this life to look forward to, we'd all be a sorry bunch of puppies. But because of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus, we have something to look forward to, eternal life, the blessed hope. Now, I also think that it's true that Christians are the temple of God. You can find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And our desire to be in the presence of God should be expressed in our desire to regularly gather together with God's people. And we know that as the church. To come together to encourage one another. And to be with like-minded people that we can express our joy and our hope and do ministry together. And I think Psalm 84 is a good reminder of the joy and the privilege of what it means to be a part of God's church and God's family. Wow. I think as we read through this psalm, and sometimes maybe we ought to take and read through it once or twice, and as you do your own devotion and you read through the psalm, I think you'll find that it does express the splendor and the beauty of the Lord Jesus and our love for Him. You know, from Genesis to Revelation, Jesus concealed in the Old Testament and revealed in the New Testament. But His beauty and His love for His creation is there. And it's just a wonderful thing to be able to reflect on the joy of the Lord is our strength, and also Psalm 84. And reflect on our personal church life. Well, I think it is really a special joy to be able to look at some of the things that are going on in the world and to understand what it means to be a follower of Christ and what it means to have hope. It's a mess out there, and our own country is adrift also. Challenges, you don't have to go too far. Just turn on the television and the 24/7 news and you can see, yeah. We need each other, we need to encourage one another, and we need to spread the gospel. Because if we ever leave this old world, we know that where we're going. We need to know that. Because everybody's going to go to heaven. Everybody's going to heaven. But those who stay there is different than everybody being there. I want to be on the side. I don't want to be over there with the goats. I want to be over there with the sheep. And be under the good shepherd. And it's a simple prayer for simple people. God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know I need a Savior. That's very obvious. And I want You to come into my life and be Lord over it. And He'll do that. Now, it is a choice. We don't have to accept the love of God if we don't want to. But God wants us to. I want to love Him and He loves us. So it's a good relationship. Amen. Well, I hope and pray that you're having a good day, and stay in touch, for Jesus is the way to life. Amen.